insight, liberty, and standards.
I pray that God is going to minister to us in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to hit the ground running because we want to finish as quickly as we can. And then we'll continue tomorrow. I want to talk in the area of sex and marriage. But let me take a quick census. How many of us here are married? Let me see our hands. Married? Okay, single? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go. The first thing I would like to say is that sex in marriage and outside marriage are two different things. Sex in marriage and outside marriage are two different things. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now what I want us to note in that particular verse, the Bible says, Adam knew his wife. The Bible didn't say Adam knew his girlfriend. Praise the Lord. And the Bible even mentioned his name. Adam knew Eve, his wife. It didn't say Adam knew Steve. So the question of homosexuality should not arise. Are you here with me? Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. God's word translation of that particular verse is, Adam made love to his wife Eve. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, I've gotten the man that the Lord promised. That's the difference between making love and having sex. I tell people a lot. Singles that get involved in premarital sex, all they are having is sex. Within marriage, that is what you call making love. And when you look at the Bible very carefully, I don't know whether you've noticed, but the Bible, each time the Bible wants to talk about unbelievers, so it's talking about premarital sex, it talks about, it uses the language, and it lay with her. Have you noticed? But when it's talking about marriage, it talks about knowing. If we look at Genesis 19:33, the Bible says, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. Why? Because that is not a sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. And then we see all of that in the scriptures. Now, I want to look at the story of Amnon and Tamar and then use that to bring some truth to us this evening as singles and married. We all know that story, so because of time, we won't be reading all over the chapter, but we'll just take it a verse at a time. In 2 Corinthians 13, 1 and verse 2, we see, it says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So the first thing I want us to see is that vexation is not love. Can you say with me, vexation is not love? Okay, because we see here from this chapter that what happened to Amnon here, the Bible says in verse 2, that he was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. And that looks in quote like a genuine love, when somebody becomes so vexed. Because when we look at the meaning of that word in other translations, it brings out some truth. Hallelujah. Look at Amplified. And Amnon was so troubled that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it impossible for him to do anything to her. What about another translation? He was exceedingly fond of her. The guy says, oh, anytime I look into my book, it's your face I see there. Does that translate into love? I'm writing my exam. I can't read. When I open my examination books, I just see you there. Does it translate into love? The Bible says he was exceedingly fond of her, so that he fell sick for her, for she was a virgin. He thought it hard to do anything to her. Look at one more translation. Amnon was obsessed. Obsession. He's thinking about her every time. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, he's thinking about Tamar. Oh, I just love her. Oh, I just want to see her. You see, the first thing I want to establish from this story is that as somebody is all over you, talking to singles now, does not mean that person loves you. Oh, he pays a lot of attention. Oh, he's always around me. He's always calling me. It does not necessarily translate into love. Hello, are you here with me? There are a few people I've had to counsel. They call me on phone. And it usually goes like this. Pastor, there is this person. I'm in love with him. We started courtship 6 months ago and everything was looking so fine. All of a sudden, he just changed. He doesn't call me anymore. He doesn't get in touch with me anymore. I don't understand what is happening. Pastor, what could be happening? I said, well, I don't think he changed. He just became himself. Probably he's been pretending all the while. So you need to understand that vexation is not love. And when you read this story down the line, we discover what Amnon did for Tamar eventually. Amnon actually raped Tamar. And yet in verse 1 and 2, he's telling us that he was obsessed. He was in love. He was exceedingly fond. So somebody can exhibit all these characteristics and it's not really love at the end of the day. And our sisters, they need to understand that. Now, somebody is all over you, is all over the place, does not translate into love. Hallelujah. On the other hand, talking to married people right now, we are all over the young lady before getting married. We are toasting her, writing poems, buying cards, buying flowers, buying chocolates, doing all those kind of things. All night calls, and after marriage, and you just forget everything. And it shouldn't be so. Praise the Lord. You see, love is something you have to keep at. Marriage is something you work at deliberately. It's not something you just leave like that. While you are courting her, you are all over. You can do everything and anything. But merely after marriage, because you now own her, then you stop doing all those things. And then the man comes around and says, I don't understand my wife again. She's no longer this, she's no longer that. The question is, were you doing what you used to do when you met her that will make her eyes go bright? Say, my wife, I don't understand. She's always sad these days. She's always depressed. She's not happy. She doesn't smile. Even when I crack jokes, she does not smile. And that thing can pain men, seriously. Your husband cracks joke, you refuse to smile. You refuse to laugh. Praise the Lord. That's because some things are missing. A man is the hunter. The woman is the responder. The man is the aggressor. The woman is the responder. When a man does not stop after marriage, it's a lifetime job. Like Pastor, Busy was saying. It's something you do over and over again to keep your marriage going. Hallelujah. What Pastor Busy described, every woman does that. My wife does that. She finishes dressing up and she's asking me, how do I look? And because a man is logical, he wants to say, how will you look before? Yeah, okay now. Praise the Lord. But that's not the response, because she can look at herself in the mirror. But when she's asking, she just wants to be affirmed. Probably you forgot to affirm her. The one that can pay women most, well, a woman goes to fix her hair. She comes back, you don't see anything. That's not good at all. It can be painful to women. So now, if they now go a little bit, a step further to help you, say, how is the hair looking? And if you now say another wrong thing at that time, that would be, even if the hair is not good, just say it's beautiful. It's only light. Just say it's beautiful. If you go like, what kind of hairstyle is this? But I've told you not to do this. Can't you see the hairstyle of Sister Sube in church? You don't finish everything with that. Praise the Lord. So, a husband should go after his wife. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, 15 to 20. It says, drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the street. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee with our love. Then look at verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. That statement, be thou ravished always with her love, is talking about you always being excited about your wife. And this instruction is not going to the wife, to the husband. It's going to the husband, to the wife. God is talking to the husband here. Or is he the husband that has breast? Praise the Lord. He's talking to the man. He said, let our breast satisfy thee at all times. So stop looking at another man's breast. That's what he's saying essentially. Praise God. All of us are looking holy here. Maybe I should not mention these words again. Eh? Alright, he said, and why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? What he's saying here is, concentrate on your wife. It's so sad today, the level of adulterous relationship that is all over the place. Especially in a place like Lagos, like this, it's intense. Because the husband is working in the bank, the wife also is working somewhere. They are living in the Korodu, so they leave home to Ireland very early in the morning, like 5 o'clock. And they don't come back till like 10, 11. You know how it is now. So at the end of the day, they are spending more time with their colleagues than their spouses. So an average man who is not born again and who doesn't have the fear of God, that's an office wife, office husband. It's all over the place. They call me from time to time. You see, but as a God-fearing person, you have to consciously create time out of no time. And one of the ways you do that is to schedule appointment with your wife. Just say, look, every Wednesday evening, we must go out. Or Saturday evening or Saturday morning is you and I time. You have to deliberately deposit into your marriage and don't allow work to take over. You compliment your wife. Very powerful. If you don't compliment your wife, somebody will compliment her for you. You know, the Bible talks about evil men, wicked men. They are all over the place. The same thing with the husband. The Bible talks about strange women who flattered with her mouth. See that in Proverbs chapter 6. So you look at your husband, you say, your tummy is too big. You are not fine again. The strange woman outside will say, I just like your tummy. The weight is rounded like football. That's the thing I like. You look at your husband and say, you are not fine again. Your head is going bald. This is not how I met you. You are not even fine again. The strange woman outside, you know what I like about you? Is this shiny head. The way the thing is shining like a mirror, I just like it. And you see, one of the things you need to understand is that men also want admiration. They will say it because an average man is egotistical. He will say that, look, I want to be admired. But me, I'm helping him to tell you now, wives, always admire your husband. Praise God. Alright, number 3, your friends can determine your end. When you look at the word friend, the last 3 words there is end. In verse 3 of that chapter, the Bible says, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. It was Amnon's friend, Jonadab, that became his nemesis at the end of the day. It was the one that gave him advice. Pretend to be sick. When the king comes, tell him that you want your sister to come and make food for you. And that was the beginning of rape. I want to believe that at the time Jonadab told Amnon to do this, he didn't ask him to rape Tamar. But we'll get there and we'll see why, you know, Amnon just made up his mind and decided to rape her sister. Let me tell your neighbor, watch the friends you have. If you're a young person, the question is, can you confidently introduce your friend to your parents? Can you introduce your friend to your pastor? Can you bring your friend to pastor's office as a pastor? Here is my friend. If you can't do that, something is wrong somewhere. You know, there are some friends some people have. They say, look. Don't walk with me on the road. Be walking on the other side of the road. When we get there, we'll meet. That's not a friend. Praise the Lord. Alright, look at Proverbs 13:20. That walking with a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Message translation says, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. That looks like a hard statement, but it's the truth. the kind of people you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with a friend that gossips about her husband, watch what's going to happen very soon. You will start gossiping about your husband. You start offering each other advices. You become each other's mentor. And at the end of the tormentor. Because you won't pass wisdom like that. Praise God. Good news, Bible says, keep company with the wise and you become wise. If you make friends with stupid people, you'll be ruined. And that's the truth. Let me ask your neighbor, who is your friend? CV translation says, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. You see, married people never ever confide in a friend what you can't confide in your spouse. It's the beginning of danger. When you can confide in a friend and tell him certain things and your spouse does not know, it's a problem. Especially when this friend is opposite sex. It's trouble. I'm telling you. Most of the adulterous cases I've had to handle, that's how it started. Confiding in his colleague or in a colleague, just offering each other's advice, and then that one would report his wife, this one would report the husband, report the wife. Before they knew it, they started having emotional connection. And it's not as if they are perfect, but it's a trap by the devil. So you don't seek counsel from a friend. You seek counsel from an authority figure. That's why you have a pastor. Hallelujah. I've had story of a lady who sought advice about, you know, her husband beating her and all of that from another friend. And that friend advised her, until you pack out, your husband won't learn. Until you pack out, he won't learn. Pack out for 2 weeks, don't come back, show him. And then that woman packed out. And then she called her spiritual mother, who was in Abeokuta, and said, Pastor, I just need to tell you, I can't do this without telling you, but I've packed out of my house. So and so offended me again, I've packed out. And that pastor's wife said, as I am talking on the phone now, as you are hearing my voice, pack your things and go back to your husband's house. He said, no. Pack, are you going to pack now? So she packed her things and went back. Guess who opened the door for her? Our friend. Our friend, with towel. She fainted. Or she couldn't believe it. You don't seek advice from friends. Even if they don't want to collect your husband, I would normally say, but your friend will advise you based on his own experience. Most times. Not based on God's wisdom. That's when you go to pastor, pastor may advise you from his experience, of course, but at the end of the day tells you, this is what the Bible says. And that's what you need to learn. Your friend will advise you based on what he knows. And what does your friend do that you don't know? You say, my husband, you don't know him. He can't touch me. I've dealt with him. Look, when he comes, don't give him food. All those kind of useless advices. That's not what we have in the scripture. What did the scripture say about if you have a difficult husband? He said in 1 Peter, you know it now. He said, behave yourself well. He said, so that by way of your response, there's a hope that your husband will change. There's nothing that works like walking in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's the next thing? Number 4, a relationship is supposed to add to you. Look at verse 4 of that chapter. The Bible says, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Will thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. You see, you are in love and you are growing lean. That's an abnormal love. Is love and fasting the same thing? Why art thou being the king's son lean? As in, he was becoming a skeleton. That's a bummer. See, love, being in love with somebody, preparing for marriage, or you're already married, is supposed to add to you. One will chase 1,000. Two will chase what? 10,000. But you see some relationship, one was chasing 1,000 before, now he's kind of chasing, two of them are chasing 100. It's supposed to add to you. Are you here with me? It was becoming lean. Before you fell in love, you had money in your account. Now that you are in love, you are in debt. Because your ATM card is with him. And you are not married. Is somebody here with me? One lady just got in touch with me. She met this guy, they fell in love, and she gave him some money, about 450,000. And that one eloped. He just went away with the money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, relationship and marriage is supposed to add to you. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That word thing is in italics in the Bible. So it's either whoso findeth a wife findeth a good and obtaineth favor of the Lord. When you get married, you are supposed to be favored of the Lord. Let me tell a single person beside you, you will not shimari. Bad English, good prayer. Tell somebody else again, you will not shimari. For those who don't understand Yoruba, it means you won't marry wrong. Hallelujah. It means you will not marry wrong. Do you know if a man is called? Pastor, I've seen it several times. Called, anointed, appointed, endowed, endued. When he's speaking like this, like fire coming out of his mouth by virtue of the anointing, then got married to the wrong man. End of ministry. End of ministry. The lady frustrated his life. He said, you going to church this morning, you are not going anywhere. And you are a pastor, you are not supposed to beat somebody. Strange woman. Strange woman. One of these men, founder of Methodist, Charles Wesley, married a strange woman. This woman will pull him with his hair on the floor. Pull him and drag him. And he couldn't do anything. Apostle Yobabalola, strange woman. His wife. His wife will go and steal chicken and use it to cook for him. Then the man, by word of knowledge, will say, Bolotiradiye. Hallelujah. You will not marry a strange woman. The Bible says Solomon married many strange women and they turned his heart against the Lord in his old age. They married all his children to strange people. The strange woman that flattered with her mouth. He said, none that go unto her return, because her way leads to hell. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he talks about wicked men, froward men. He said, a man that speaketh frowardness with his mouth. He wrote lies. He has lied to the extent he's lying in state. He can lie to a dead man. The dead man will come back to life. You don't meet such people. You know, there is nothing like integrity. When you marry a man and a woman of integrity, you know that my husband, he will tell me the truth. My wife, she can't hide anything. You are blessed. Because if he's going to commit adultery tomorrow, he will tell you today. He say, look, I want to die. Save me. Because he can't hide anything. He can't hide. The moment a husband or a wife can hide, that's no longer marriage. Adultery is perpetrated on secrecy. You have to be able to keep secret. That's it. The husband looks at you and says, what's happening? Nothing. And there's something. God will help us in Jesus' name. I tell people, you ask your wife, maybe her countenance is down. You say, what's happening there? She says, nothing. You better sit down. There's something. In fact, when you ask him, is there anything? And she says, there's something. There's really nothing. You need to understand their language. You say, what's the problem? Nothing. And you walk away. Then 2 hours later, she will come to you. I say, you saw me like that. You left me. You say, I asked you what is wrong. You said nothing. So you now walked away because of that. You don't know there's something when I said nothing. Your wife wants you to be the Holy Spirit. You have to pick it. A husband should be sensitive. You know, husbands, you know, when you have offended your wife, you always know now. Then you ask him to pacify your conscience. You say, what's the problem? She says nothing. So, well, you walk away. But you know there's something. Hallelujah. Our object, our desire is to make our spouses happy both ways. Make her happy. It's a ministry. That's why Paul said, I wish you should be single. Remain single. Because I'm not sure you can handle marriage. This one that somebody offend you, you keep the person in strife for 2 years. Nobody will offend you like your spouse. Oh. First of all, this is to say, unlike what attracts now. You are different. It is the difference you saw in her that you liked. Oh, this person is different from me. So you attracted each other. And after you are married, that very difference will irritate you. You are very fast. You want to go out together. You are a fast dresser in 2 minutes. The way you bath, say, nobody knows whether... Under 2-3 days, you are out. One wife was asking me, she said, my husband does not take his bath. I said, ah. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm saying the truth. I said, these are some of the questions you should have asked when you are engaged. All this time that you get distracted and start kissing each other. Ask questions. Who are you? Where do you come from? What's your name? Who is your father? What kind of sickness runs in your family? Are you okay? What kind of food do you eat? Is it fresh stew you must eat every time? Even if it is 1 a.m., I must wake up to ask those questions. What's your relationship between water and soap? Do you bath? Ask questions. You'll be looking at yourself in your faces, you'll be doing Valentine. Ask questions. You say, I'm so much in love, I can't talk. You better talk. Better talk. Number 5. Guys are moved by what? By sight. Every man knows that. Somebody said 95% of the time, men are thinking about sex. Man, I don't know about that. But if that is true, that means men in this world, since you were here, you've thought about sex one way or the other. There's no way you can get an answer. Praise God. Men are moved by what they see. Your husband saw you. He got attracted. He got married. He came to you. It was attraction. But now you got married, you stopped dressing for him. At home, you just wear anything carelessly. That's not good. Wear something for him. Let his temperature rise. Oh. Some of us are too old in this place. Of course, if there are children in the house, you may not be able to do that. What if you are just newly married? You are blessed. Before the children come, you are supposed to wear pantaloons, jump around the house, discover yourself, play very well. Be friends. All these ones are doing spirituality in the house. In the house, so nobody is with you, no pastor. Say, bless God. Hallelujah. The husband wakes up, the wife wakes up, they are coming, they meet his body, shalabalabalaba. The wife too say, hello, hello, sakatakatabalaba. Play very well. It's not sinful to play. Husband and wife. If you don't play. He said, husband, that scripture read, enjoy the wife of your youth. Maybe what he's trying to say, when you grow old, you won't be able to play. Oh. So when you are youth, enjoy yourself. The husband probably wants to eat. He goes to the kitchen and gets some stew. The wife says, how can you put your hand inside the pot like that without taking permission? Ha. Must I write a letter of application to text you? Hello, somebody. Just play. You know, when you play, you will fight less. It's when you don't play, you fight. You say, you finish eating, you did not say thank you. If you were playing, say, no, so thank you. You say, thank you. But if you are fighting, you say, must I say thank you all the time? I'm your husband, for God's sake. Well, thank you. How many times will I be thanking you? Because you are not friends. If you are friends, he won't even come and attack you. She won't come and say, you did not say thank you. While you are playing, the play will have translated to thank you. But you were eating silently, as if it's only communion. It's only communion you eat silently, you go like this. The husband comes to the table clear. Me, I play a lot too. I play with my wife a lot. I play so much, my wife begged me. Say, enough. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Some of you frown at your wife at home. Go and enjoy the wife of another man's in the office. In the office. That's not good. Praise the Lord. Okay, so guys are moved by sight in verse 6. So I'm not laid down and made himself sick. Can you see? He made himself sick. Tori Obiri. Have you seen some men before? They can go to any. They can pretend they are. Oh God. God will help us. He made himself sick, and when the king was come to him, Amnon said to the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes. Can you see? In my what? In my sight, that I may eat at her hand. That's why Amnon raped her eventually. In my sight. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour, kneaded it, and made cake in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And you know the way they make, they knead cakes in those days. We'll have to kneel down. Just, you know, some of us, it's blender we met. When I was born, we met what Yoruba call Olo. Eh? You bend down like this. Eh? You grind the pepper. That was what he was doing, kneading. And while she was doing that, Amnon was imagining that this girl will not escape. Are you here with me? And this is why, ladies, you don't go to a man's territory when you are not married. And go and be kneading cakes. Who sent you around? You leave your campus, you travel to his campus to go and spend weekend washing singlets, boxers, and you're not married. He has not paid your dowry. Cooking rice. Some men will say, she has to wash clothes now. How do you know she can wash? Is he a wife you want to marry or a dry cleaner? That's the question. Hallelujah. Beware of cooking when you have not been hooked. Married people, dress for yourself at home. Be romantic. After all, you read the book of Romans. Be romantic. Do not allow anybody to take over your kitchen, ladies, unless your husband agrees to that. Food is powerful. Food is what? Morning food, ourselves cook out. Afternoon food, ourselves. Evening food, ourself. The following day, ourself. And the ourself is light in complexion. And men, you know you have a problem with people that are light in complexion. They brought out from it from the village. They said, is this one okay? He said, that's very okay. It's like setting trap for yourself. Don't allow ourself to take over certain areas completely while you answer. Do you understand that? It's careless, for example, for the wife to be sleeping in the bedroom while the household is serving the man in the house every other night. That's, you are trapping your husband. He's moved by sight. He's moved by sight. Praise the Lord. And every night it's vegetable she's cooking. Number 6, place a value on yourself. Look at it, and she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them to the chamber to Amnon, her brother. Did you see that? He brought it to his chamber. That was a mistake. You don't go into the chamber of a man you are not married to. You are not married to him. You are still courting. You enter his bedroom. That's a dangerous thing to do. Say, I want to help you lay the bed. No, wait till you are married. Are you here with me? And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said, come lie with me, my sister. She answered, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. And therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he will not hearken unto her voice, but be stronger than she, forced her, and lay with her. You see that word lay again? And lay with her. The problem Tamar had was that, number one, all the servants, they've been sent out. Number two, she went into his chamber. If you are single, even if your wedding is 2 months away, don't go into his chamber. Don't do it. Are you here with me? Don't go and spend the night. You say, how will I eat if she doesn't come? What were you eating before you met her? And that's the question now. You say, how will she not come? I will not eat. What were you eating before? Praise the Lord. Things should be done decently and in order. And most of the time, if you can just follow this simple instruction from the scriptures, we'll avoid being trapped by the devil. If you know the extent to which even believers are compromising today, it's terrible. Most 99% of people that call me are believers, so they are not unbelievers, believers. And I want to confirm, sir. I would say, are you born again? They say yes. Are you spirit filled? Yes. Ah, how can you do this kind of a thing? That's the kind of generation we find ourselves. God will help us in Jesus' name. Message translation says, but he wouldn't listen, being much stronger than she. He raped her. Married people, on the other hand, do not leave your husband's chamber. You quarrel and then you go and sleep in the sitting room. Don't do it. Hello, somebody. Don't do it. Don't by action says the bed is empty, another person can feel it. Don't do it. Stay on the bed. Stay in the same room. When it's not as if he put a knife by his side, he wants to stab you. He said, because I'm quarreling with him, I will deal with him, I will not sleep in the day. Some couples I have to deal with, 2 months, they've not slept together in the same room. One will go to sitting room. If the wife that slept for the husband will go to sitting room. If the husband that slept for the wife will go to sitting room, what kind? You are roommates. Even roommates, sometimes sleep in the same room. So you don't leave your matrimonial chamber for anything. That's why I don't subscribe to daddy's room and mommy's room. Unless you want to keep clothes in mommy's room alone. Mommy's room can have all the clothes and shoes. But your bedroom should be your bedroom. That's why somebody advised. Say when you first, I don't subscribe to the advice, but the advice may be good for some people. Say when you first get married, 2.5 bed. That's what you should make. He said because if you make 6x6 to start your marriage, like when you quarrel, there is enough room for you to face the east. This one will face the west. He said, but when it's 2.5 bed, you quarrel. You sleep on the bed. One way or the other, that quarrel will end. By the time your body touches each other. Hello. Don't leave your bed for anything. Don't do it. Kenneth Hagin said, for many years of their married life, I think for 60-something years, his wife would always sleep in his arms. Powerful. Powerful. His wife will always sleep in his arms every night. That's powerful. Such commitments we need to make it. You see, it's not good for you and your spouse to not talk to each other for 2, 3, 4 days. Don't waste the effort of the pastor. Pastor prays over you, prophesies over you, then you go in strife. It's not going to work. The Bible says where there is strife, there's all manner of evil work and there's confusion. Don't stay in strife. End it all. It's your husband. You are one. You can't fight each other. Yes, there are times you are going to hurt each other because you are human. You are in the days of your flesh. You are not perfect. You are not God. But make sure you end it. Make sure you end it. First years of our marriage, my wife and I, we can quarrel for 1 or 2 days. One day God told me, he said, the next time you do that, I will take my anointing away from you. I said, And after that, we quarreled again. I didn't talk to her. I was very angry. And I got to church to preach. I was stammering. I said, I'm not a stammerer. Kilo de. Then I remember what God said. I said, this is the end. Never in my life. Even if I feel if you are the one, I will end it all. These days I can't go into strife. It's impossible. Pastor Tunde Bakare got to church one day. He wanted to preach. He said, before I preach, I would like to report my wife. We had a quarrel. She refused to talk to me. I begged her. She said, no, she's not going to take my... And we're in church today. She's still fighting me. Please, the whole church, can you help me to beg her? The whole church say, sorry. Say, have you forgiven me now? They say, no, there's nothing. Praise the Lord. Alright, number 7. Love endures, but lost it after getting what he wants. In verse 15. And Amnon hated her exceedingly. Can you imagine? In verse 1, He was obsessed. He was exceedingly fond. He was so much in love until he was sick. Verse 15, he hated her. Not that he just hated her exceedingly. That's what it means. If they give him a knife, he would stab. He hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. I'm not said to her, arise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and red and garments of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head, crying. You see, in a relationship where there's compromise, who do you think gets hurt the most, the man or the woman? It's the woman. Hardly will a guy call me and say, Pastor, I was in a relationship, I'm hurt. It's ladies. The guy has moved on. You see, it's logical. It works by logic, not by sentiments or emotions. It's the wife that is smarting from, and I gave her my heart. Now, in a situation like that, most of the time, the girl or the lady appear to be the loser. So, who do you think should be wiser? When a relationship breaks or doesn't work, who gets all the most, the guy or the lady? When there's disappointment concerning wedding, who cries endlessly for days? The man is busy looking for another bride. He doesn't have time. It's a lady. So who should be wiser? When there's premarital sex, who is afraid of getting pregnant? Have you ever seen any brother call to pastor and say, Pastor, I mistakenly have sex yesterday, but I don't want to be pregnant. He's not thinking about it. It's the least of his worries. It's the lady that is afraid. When pregnancy is anticipated, who start drowning pills like a fowl? It's the lady now. Who goes for all kinds of tests in the hospital? So know whether she's pregnant. Have you seen a man come to say, please test me for pregnancy? Who goes through the pain of abortion in the event of that? Is it the guy or the lady? It's the lady. Who goes through psychological trauma of murdering a life most? Is it the guy or the lady? Because for the lady, that baby was already part of her, even if it is 2 or 3 weeks. So for nights, you could have nightmares and traumas. The guy doesn't have time. Who combines the psychological trauma with emotional pain and then the physical discomfort? Is it the guy or the lady? It's the lady. If there were complications in the abortion process, whose body is affected? It's the lady. If the womb is affected, who will be able to conceive eventually? It's the lady. If the decision is to have the baby, whose stomach protrudes? Is it the guy or the lady? It's the lady that goes through the stigma of carrying unwanted pregnancy all over the place. Who goes through the seemingly stigma of carrying an unwanted pregnancy? It's the lady. Who goes through labor pain? In that moment when a lady goes through enough pain that will drown any man and make a grown-up man cry like a baby in the labor room. Who goes through that? Who should be wiser? Hours or days before childbirth, who goes through the cramping, the tightening, the pounding, the stabbing, the back pain, the waves, the pressures, and the pushing and the exhaustion? Who? Who becomes a single mother? Do you hear them say single father? The one they are saying now is baby mama. You heard it? Yeah, all those useless stars say she's my baby mama. So you can have 10 baby mamas. What a crazy arrangement. Who does breastfeeding afterwards? You see the man wake up and say, I want to breastfeed the baby. No, he's busy snoring. So you discover that everything that the lady goes through, who should be wiser? But actually, who seems foolish? Are you here with me? You've got to wake up as a lady. One lady told me, said, I've had all the relationships I've been in, it has not worked. I said, how many relationships? He said, 7. I said, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Hallelujah to Jesus. One of the greatest decisions we need to make is to decide to do it God's way. Just make up your mind. Do it God's way. Especially ladies now. Because we are so naive, we are easily deceived. We fall in love with Facebook profiles. I don't imagine how it happens. And they'll be arguing with you, say, Pastor, he's okay, the way we chat. She has not met him. There's someone that will say, even though we have not met, but he has called me. It's the same thing. You fell in love with a voice. One lady told me, said she was already in love with a voice. After the 5th month, they met. He said she ended the relationship that day. He said, I could not connect the voice and the face. I fell in love with the voice, but when I saw the face, I jumped out of love. So I tell people, I said, look, before you give your heart out, how do you fall in love with somebody you've not interacted with one-on-one? That's why a guy walks up to you on the road, he has not met you before, he just saw you. He said, I'm in love with you. It's a lie. Because you can't love somebody you don't know. You have to be able to interact with me before you know me, and then you can start talking of love. There's nothing like love at first sight. There could be a knowing at first sight. For example, the first day I saw my wife as a student in a campus, God told me, that's your wife. But there was no love. I was not in love. I was attracted, but I was not in love. You have to know somebody before you. So ladies, if you don't know him, don't fall in love. Because he sent a recharge card. Or because he's in Canada. It's not done. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's a way to go about it. There's a process. When somebody asks you out, if it is the same church, beautiful, you talk to the pastor. Ordinarily, the man that is asking the lady out should have informed the pastor in the first place as well. Otherwise, you can mistakenly propose to a mother in the church and you won't know. It happened in the church I was pastoring before. This guy joined our church. He's not up to 2 months. He's a footballer. Then he came to my office. He said, Pastor, there's a lady I met, I saw in church. I love her. I proposed to her yesterday. She said, no. Can you help me talk to her? I said, who? He said, Sister Grace. Say, which Grace? He said, you want to marry the mother and the child together or what? He said, Does he have a child? I said, see, because you are not following the right protocol. While I was on campus, there's this young child that was assisting me. He was teaching another member of the church, a lady, how to use computer. About 2 weeks after, he came up to me and said, Pastor, I've seen my wife. God spoke to me. I said, I said, who? He said, Sister Ibukun. I said, which one? He said, that one you are teaching. I said, I'm your pastor. She can never be your wife. He said, Pastor, God spoke to me. I had God. I said, I said, how old are you? He said, 19. I said, how old is Sister Ibukun? He said, I don't know. I said, she's 27. He said, It can't be God. It can't be God. Immediately he disowned the voice he had. You see, because when you spend time with someone, when you spend time, there will be a connectedness emotionally. And emotional vibes can be very strong and you think it's God speaking to you. That is why it is good to hear what God is saying before you become emotionally connected. Because when you are emotionally connected, you cannot hear God. You can't hear God. God will be saying no, you say yes, because you are in love. So ask God before you fall in love. Hallelujah. For married people, make investments into your marriage. Women are powerful. A woman is not the head of the house, but she is very influential. It is important, listen, men that are married, it is important that the heart of your wife blesses you. She doesn't even have to kneel down to pray. Just in her heart, blessing you. Very, very important. So you don't treat her anyhow. Say, because I'm the head of the house. Ah. Okay, you are the head, she's the neck. Where will you turn the head to? It's important. You honor her and you treat her well. The Bible says, treat them as unto a weaker vessel. So you don't treat a glass cup like you treat a plastic cup. You can treat a plastic cup anyhow, but glass cup, you don't want to do that. So treat them as unto, the Bible never said they are weak. He said, but like you would treat a weaker vessel. That's how you should treat them. He says, so that your prayers will not run aground. Message translation. KJV says, well, your prayers will not be hindered. In effect, if I have a problem with my spouse, there's a problem with my prayers. You've not spoken to your spouse 3 days. You go to the mountain to pray. Waste of time and energy. You're wasting time. It would have been better for you to go and end that and say, honey, please, should I prostrate? Okay, sorry. Then your prayers can be answered. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. I think we've come to the end, so let me just round up because of those of us that are still going to far places. We're going to continue tomorrow. But we'll just take 2 or 3 minutes to pray. Hallelujah. Especially if you look into your life as a single and you know there's a compromise in any area, you know it. I'm not going to call anybody forward. There's not even time to do that. Maybe tomorrow we'll do some prayers. But you know deep down that something is amiss. I'm not on the right path. You see, it's hypocritical for a lady to be constantly sleeping around or compromising and then come to the altar to pray and say, God, why have you not given me a husband? You know why. There's compromise. Something is not right. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians, he said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. You can't sleep with a brother, premarital sex, Saturday morning, sing in the choir next day, and sing the singing in the choir covers for your sin. It does not. I see every act, everything you do is like a seed into your future. It's like sowing seeds. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that when you sow wind, you will reap whirlwind. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But you see, I want you to talk to God in your heart. If you know there's compromise, especially any sexual sin, please talk to God. I say, God, I don't want to live like this again. Help me. The Bible says in the scripture, it says, sin will not have dominion over you. It's an emphatic statement. That is, sin will not lord it over you. You have control over it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So can you just go ahead and talk to God? Say, Lord, help me. I want to stay clean. I want to stay clear of iniquity. If you are married here, you have issues with your spouse, please talk to God. Say, Lord, give me the wisdom to handle this. We arrest every demonic power militating against marriages and homes. We pull a stop to their operations in the name of Jesus. Mando sikranishta baladisa hamadis. Ledevragesto praga dasibahanegesto. Jita grita live suze fragabadish. Father, we thank you. We honor you tonight. We ascribe all greatness to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we honor you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I commit everybody under the sound of my voice into your hands, singles and married. The Lord, any area where their needs for things to be perfected, the Lord, in your strength and in your power, you will step in the name of Jesus and bring a positive intervention in the name of Jesus. Every plans of hell against relationships and marriages, we put a stop to their operations in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of confusion. We come against the spirit behind delays. We put a stop to the operations of these wrong spirits in the name of Jesus. I declare over you that the counsel of God will stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, Amen. Hallelujah.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church
say
amen.